myself spiraling down to an anger that is burning all the time.
Yeah, and part of the problem is how they've been losing. It's been run out into a nice lead, get points off turnovers, get everybody involved, have a good solid lead at half, and then when the basketball starts to matter and teams start to take it seriously situationally, you just kind of give it up. That's been really frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and I don't know if I have the energy in me to really. Luckily, I have Tony and Campy. Like, I don't know if I have the energy to just keep going. At some point, I'm just going to turn off. Like, at some point, I'm just going to be like, oh, afterthought. Like, oh, the Bulls, afterthought. And I'm going to focus in on other stuff. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting damn close to it. So why don't we change the subject? Because all it's going to do is bring back up the fire. And I don't kind of want to do that. I'm in a pretty good mood today. But I am curious, what were you guys' biggest takeaways from the Weederer Campbell piece? Like, what stuck with you from it?
It's the way they've continued. They've been writing it this way all season and leaving breadcrumbs for you. But in this piece, it's really out there. That confidence when it comes to Mitch is absolutely an issue. Not just does he have it, but how it's been affected, how he continues to try and how the team continues to build himself and hold him up. That seems to be something that, like you say, has spiraled some, and I don't know how he rescues himself from it.
A couple things stuck with me. One, the schism that was going on with John Fox still in place and the cross currents that were working in the organization when Fox and current quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone both wanted them to take Deshaun Watson. And it appears the Bears closed that door before they had to.
Yep.
That they could have done more to give themselves a better, longer, fairer, more objective look at Deshaun Watson. And somewhere at some point, whether it was Pace unilaterally or others involved, we know it wasn't Fox. We know it wasn't Ragone. Nagy wasn't here yet. So it is really on Pace to say, yeah, I'm not even really interested in holding Deshaun Watson up to the same rigorous scouting standards as these other two quarterbacks.
And I kept wondering, and it's how they did business, but I wonder if they had it to do again. Instead of playing Secret Squirrel, would it have been better for the Bears as an organization to know what Pace was thinking? And then they could have worked against some of that bias and go, okay, I know that you want to keep all of this stuff and you don't want us to see what's on your notepad and you want us to work independently of you, but maybe if we're all coming to this conclusion, perhaps it would be good for us to retrace our steps and figure out if we're all wrong. Because it's possible we're all wrong with this. And you're not letting the voices of dissent into the room, really, with you on this. I wonder if they'd been better served in that regard.
Kind of like a cross-checker or opposition research, that kind of thing. Like, listen, we like this guy, whoever it is, but it's your job for the next week to tell us why we're wrong.
Yeah. Did you guys click on the tweet, the video of inside? You need to.
I know the video you're talking about. I had watched it before. I didn't click on it when I was reading through the story this
because
morning, but I'd seen it.
In selling it, he's saying this guy said it, and this guy said it, and this guy said it. We're all in agreement that is conviction. That's right. The quote. That is conviction that we have the right guy. And maybe they would have been better served with going, you sure, fam? Sure. Someone in the room that they would allowed into the room just going, are we sure? Can we go back over our steps? The other thing for me is I think what I'm learning, and I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody because I think the people who work on getting all of the draft material available for people are very valuable just in learning. But I think that to me is now become something that I'll err on the side of caution with as we approach drafts, is that it's just information that you can add to it. Like the idea of justifying any of the picks by saying, well, this is what this draft expert said, and this is what this draft expert said, I don't think it cuts it for me anymore.
I think it does, given a large enough body of work, to say that there is a presumption generally. There is a trend to rank this guy ahead of this guy.
Yeah.
I don't think you can take any individual, any one person, any scout, and say, well, if he thought it, it has to be true.
Right. I just think there are a lot of questions on how people come to some of those conclusions.
With quarterbacks, for sure.
And some of the stuff, like, even where Pace is like, well, you know, they, well, what Weeder and Campbell wrote was that they liked the support system, the family, the structural system of Trubisky. And it's like, oh, okay. So Patrick Mahomes didn't have that?
Right. You're comparing that to who and what exactly?
And Deshaun Watson didn't have that, considering what he and his family have gone through? Okay.
I didn't like the phrasing of that.
I didn't either, Tony. Especially it made me very uncomfortable.
You could expand that to the football family. I mean, I'm not a big Dabo guy, but you got to credit Clemson for creating what they have in the way they have in a football family. Deshaun had that?
Yep. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. I've enjoyed you guys' show. Like, I think you guys have had a lot of good conversations today, some good callers, which, you know.
Yeah,
it's hit or miss. It's hit or miss on those things. So I really enjoyed the kind of the way that you all broke that piece down was excellent.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, sir.
So I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll check.
They're on from 9 a.m. until noon, Bernstein and McKnight. I am here until 2 o'clock. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan four packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one large popcorn, and one low price. To get yours, visit chicagowolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. And this hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website at 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Tony, let's go.
But I got to say, I'm just fired up to be here today. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
The other thing is, well, Matt understands it. No disrespect to Matt Nagy's playing career, because Lord knows I didn't have a playing career as advanced as his. He has no idea what Mitch is going through. And him playing quarterback at Delaware or in an arena league, he has no idea. He's never been in that position. And I know that he's sitting there with Mitch in the meetings, but to be fair to Mitch, I think Mitch could be like, nah, fam, you don't know. You don't know what it's like to walk through here and see the TVs, like, people just killing me on television or on Lawrence's show on The Score. I don't think that you had to worry about that at Delaware, fam, or with the Arizona Rattlers, whoever the hell he played for in Arena League.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That feels like I'm taking a shot at the Arizona Rattlers. I apologize. Wait, do the Arizona Rattlers even still exist? The AFL's gone, right? I apologize to whomever was offended. This segment here on The Score is being brought to you by Burlington Stores. Help spread the warmth. Join Burlington's annual coat drive through January 20th. Donate a coat at any Burlington store to help your neighbors in need. As thanks, receive 10% off purchase. Find your store at burlington.com. And I know that Tony Metlin's coat drive for the Bears is going on right now, too. Coat drive. It's always great. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a couple of great guests that are going to join us in studio. We really, really like the in-studio conversations. We feel like it's a little bit more compelling than having people on the phone. And we like bringing in smart people to talk about sports. And we're doing that today. Dion Miller is going to join me in the next segment from ABC7. Jason Leisure is going to join me at 1 o'clock, as we usually do with Jason. We love having him be a part of our show. Before I get started on the show today, I just want to say thank you to you listening to the show. And I can't really go into depth on how I know this, but I do know that a lot of you are listening, and we are your choice from noon to two, and it's appreciated. And it's gratifying, because we do the show a little bit differently. We try to make it a podcasty feel, and we figured that people would dig that. But to know that people dig it is very, very cool. So I thank you for listening. Even if sometimes I get a little rowdy or we disagree on something, the fact that you listen to this show and make it a priority to listen to it it means a lot to me that what we're putting together is actually moving the needle, so to speak. So I wanted to thank you with that. One of the things I want to talk about today is, I guess I have to, I don't know if a clarifying is a good way to say it, but I guess I have to, because even yesterday when the Score put out the video of me talking about where the Bears are relative to the rest of the NFC, there's still people who don't quite get the perspective that I'm coming from. I look at the Bears team and I see a team that's not very good. That being said, I don't know if you're them, and I'm looking at it, trying to look at it from their perspective. If you're them, they can't punt on the season. The Bears can't look at it and be like, nope, we got absolutely no shot. Now, I'm not talking even from a mathematics standpoint, although once you get to a mathematical elimination from this thing, it becomes easier to look at it from the mosaic and be like, okay, we have some issues here, here, and here that we need to fix. My feeling is pretty simple. And I've had this argument with Alex Brown on the Football After Show too. Look, man, we're seeing the same thing. You and I are seeing the exact same thing when it comes to the 2019 Bears. But winning the game against Detroit was significant because had you lost the game against Detroit, then we could really get into the weeds on the big picture situation. Not that we can't now. We could talk about some of that stuff now. But we could really get into the weeds on it. Because their season, for the most part, would be over. But you win the game, and now you're 4-5. And I enjoyed people texting me last night and saying, hey, the Bears are officially in the hunt, because they were on the graphic on Monday Night Football. And you kind of snicker at it and you go, yeah, sure they are. But here's the thing. The team that's at the top of the in the hunt in the NFC is the team that you're playing on Sunday. Overall, do I think the Rams are better than the Bears? Yeah, I would give them an edge. Although, they have a lot of injuries, especially on their offensive line. What I'm saying is that you don't have to resign yourself to everything is over, everything sucks, everything's terrible. You can actually follow their lead on this one until Sunday. And Sunday, if they lose, then you can start looking at the big picture stuff with this team of how are they being put together from a roster standpoint. Is Matt Nagy actually a good coach with Trubisky? Are you going to pay that fifth-year option for him? Probably not. But those are conversations that are more germane if they lose. If they win on Sunday, you have a team that's 5-5, and has a tiebreaker over an NFC team that is in the hunt for a wild card spot. And a game the next week that's super winnable for them. And you could see this Bears team put together, stack some wins together. We always talk about the NFL being a week-to-week league, right? The Bears are a week-to-week team. You and I are seeing the exact same thing. Things that bother us. The offense doesn't look good. The defense is good, but not great. Special teams has kind of been hit or miss. But it's okay for you to go into Sunday's game going, man, I hope the Bears win. I'll tell you, as someone who does a radio show in Chicago, I would like for them to win on Sunday.
Yes, please.
Correct, Tony.
Please win. Don't be awful.
Right. It gives us an opportunity to bring more people into the tent, more people listening to the show. And the people at Hallis Hall will tell you, well, you guys, you breed on negativity. Only to a point. Like what I was saying with the Bulls. At some point, we're not going to care. Like, being mad to just be mad is not going to be good radio. And we're just not going to talk about it.
It's so weird. It's like, you know, when people or athletes or management, they get angry that people ask tough questions, are demanding, you know, excellence. It's like, you better be glad this is happening. Because the moment this stops, you're going to be so upset that nobody cares about your team.
Correct. But sometimes players and teams, because what they're getting told in house is, it's us against them and everyone's out to get us. No. No. Do you know how important the Bears were to the media collective here in Chicago last year? Like, even when they're bad, people are interested. But the thing is that you'd rather them be good than bad. So I look at it as I'm not pie in the sky. I don't have any delusions of what this team is. But I'm telling you, if you were on the Bears right now, you would be thinking to yourself, hell yeah, we got an opportunity this Sunday. You had two guys on their offensive line banged out. Jared Goff's not even better than our quarterback. If you look at what he's done over his last season and a half.
Coin flip.
Yeah. Call heads, but make sure you say it clearly or else people get mad at you on Twitter. If you're the Bears, you're going, we have a chance to get back in this thing. We have a chance to extend our season another week. That's what the win was against Detroit. It was a chance to extend the season. And guess what? They did that. Now go beat the Rams. And I guarantee you, they beat the Rams no matter how they do it. If it's an Eddie Pinheiro kick at the end, if Mitch threw four interceptions and the Bears went all Arizona on you and won the game with special teams and defense, on Monday, on this show and every other on the score, people be like, hey, Bears are 5-5. What do you think their chances are of making the playoffs? And then we can reassess. Last week when we started, their chances of making the playoffs was what, 2.5%? I haven't checked, but I imagine that those chances went up after they won the game.
As long as you're on the graphic as in the hunt on Monday Night Football, we are all good.
Okay, Tony, I don't know if we should use that as a barometer, but I did think it was funny that people on Twitter last night were like, you know what? You're right. Yeah, I see it on the, like, me telling them yesterday wasn't enough.
No, you got to have a visual with your presentation.
No, you're right. I needed to PowerPoint this thing and go, in the hunt. See? Bears, 4-5.
Back in it. Let's go.
They're at the bottom, but they're in it. Dion Miller is here. She's delightful. She's going to jump in and hang out with us, and we'll talk Bears with her next here on The Score.
Happens on The Score. It's brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Be big, be bold, be adventurous. The comedy team of Mills and Perry, that's New York Knicks president Steve Mills and general manager Scott Perry, was at it again Sunday, holding an impromptu press conference after the Knicks dropped to 2-8 with an embarrassing loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mills said this, "We think we're not performing at the level we anticipated." What level was that, Steve? The Knicks were 17-65 last season, their sixth straight without sniffing the playoffs in a league in which more than half the teams make postseason. They had $70 million in cap space this summer and signed, wait for it, zero big-name free agents. That's the way to improve on an awful team. Run in place. Coach David Fizdale better start looking up names of moving companies, because it's apparent the Laurel and Hardy of hoops are going to make him the fall guy. Try the veal. I'm John Feinstein. CBS
Sports Radio. Meet Miguel.
Family.
What actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power? Claims of miracle trendy ingredients? Multiple modes? If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it.
Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health. Healthier habits. Quip sensitive vibrations with a built-in timer guides gentle brushing for the dentist recommended 2 minutes, with 30-second pulses ensuring an even clean. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. These thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do twice a day. Good habits matter to live a healthier life. So help form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/2019 right now, your first refill is free. That's your first refill free at G-E-T.